Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Ayin Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 11 lines from the top of Daf Ayin Tes. Before we begin the actual Gemara text, let us glance in the margin under the Nosei, the topic heading, which reads, Dino Shel Rav, the law, the ruling of Rav, Hasoicher Es HaChamor, Lirkoi Voleha, someone rented a donkey for riding purposes, for transportation purposes, Umesa Loi Bechatzi Haderech, and the animal died at the halfway mark of the trip. No se lo schoro shel chatzi haderech, the renter, the customer, pays for half the journey, the value of half the journey. V'ein loy olov ela taroimus, and beyond that there is no more than ill feeling. One is allowed to have ill feelings, but nothing more than that. As far as who has the ill feelings, etc., let us wait till we get into the Gemara. Now, the Gemara. 11 lines from the top. Omar Rabo Bar Rav Huna Omar Rav. Hasoicher Es HaChamor Lirkoi Voleha. Rabo Rav Huna quotes Rav as saying, one who rents a donkey for riding. Umei Solo B'chatzi HaDerech, and the animal died at the halfway mark. Noisein loy schoroi shel chatzi haderech. Then the renter pays for half the journey. V'ein loy olov elo taroimes. And he can have nothing more than ill feelings. The customer can have, he has no financial claim beyond that, other than ill feelings that he rented a donkey that was incapable of making the whole journey. The owner rented him a donkey that was weak. You'll notice that we have a diamond here, and a couple lines later, under the Mivneh, the structural note on the side of our Gemara, we indicate that the diamond highlights the expression Hefi Domi, and what that represents here, how Hefi Domi, how is it to be understood, how is it speaking? Shlavei Birur Bedino Sharav. These are stages of clarification of what Rav is teaching. So we continue in the Gemara. Hey Chidomi, e deshchiach lagore, if the customer can find another animal easily. Shchiach means common or regular. There are, it is easy to come by a replacement donkey. Then tarumos my avidite, why should he have even an ill feeling toward the owner? E delo shchiach lagore, and if you're at a point, the halfway mark, you're at a point in the middle of the desert, you're not going to find someone. It's going to be hard to come by another donkey to rent. Then, agro boy lemesavle. Should the customer have to pay any rent? The animal died halfway, leaving him in the middle of nowhere. What expectation is there from the customer, from the renter, to pay for? So we continue. Li'oilom delo shiach laguri. In fact, it's not easy to come by a replacement animal, to rent a replacement animal. Umishum di omar le, the maskir, the owner, says to the customer, Ilu boyis lemesi ad hocha, if you had wanted to come till this point, lav agro boyis lemesav, would you not have had to pay for this amount of distance? With that claim, we understand Rav's din of having to pay for half the journey. Hechi domi. Further clarification. E de omar le chamor stam. If the owner said, I am renting you a donkey, without indicating a specific donkey, ho chayav lahamid lo chamor acher. The owner is then obligated to provide another donkey. And in Rav's original teaching, he didn't indicate that. So, once again, if the original agreement was, I will rent you a donkey, without specifying which donkey, this one died, well, you're still obligated, as an owner, you're still obligated to provide another donkey. E de omar le chamor ze, if the renter said, I'm renting to you this donkey, well then, im yesh bedomeho likach yikach. If there is enough of value in the animal corpse, in the nevela, to buy some other donkey, so that should be the ruling. Buy another donkey with whatever money you can get from the nevela, from the sale of the nevela, and complete the journey with the replacement donkey. And yet Rav didn't indicate that either. Lo tzricha. What Rav was dealing with is as follows. In other words, it's not that, but we still need to have Rav's teaching. B'she'ein b'domeh likach. The money that you'll get for the sale of the corpse is not enough to buy a new donkey. Im yesh b'domeh liskor yiskor. Well, shouldn't that be the case? That if there is enough money in the corpse for renting another donkey, shouldn't that be the ruling? Why does Rav say that the customer pays for half the journey and simply can have ill feelings, but nothing more than that? Why shouldn't this be the ruling? Use the corpse money and rent a new donkey. The topic heading that we have on the side of the Gemara, we call this an Osei Hemshech, a continuation of our discussion. Im meso b'chatzi aderech ve'ein b'dmei ha'mevela maspik l'knias chamor acher. If the donkey died halfway and there isn't enough value in the corpse for buying a replacement animal, l'fi Rav, according to Rav, lo amrinon shiyiskor chamor acher. We don't say, well, take the money, the owner should take that money and rent another donkey for this customer. Why does Rav not say that? The lo mechalinon karno. Translated as we do not finish off the principal value. In other words, the original owner of this donkey that just died is left with his donkey's corpse. So as far as he is concerned, that's all he has by way of principal value in the donkey, namely the corpse that remains. If you're going to say, sell the corpse and use the money for renting a replacement donkey to continue the journey, at the end of that, nothing will be left for the original owner of the donkey. He will have used up everything, used the money that he got from the sale of the corpse for renting a replacement animal for his customer to be able to complete the journey. Well, Rav says that when a person is in a position that he has to compensate someone, we don't expect him to mechalinen karna, to finish off his whatever principal holding he may have. Let us turn back to the Gemara. Rav litame, Rav, in saying that we don't expect the owner to use the corpse value to rent a donkey to complete the journey, is consistent with what he has said elsewhere. The Omar Rav lo mechalinon karno. We don't expect people to spend the value of whatever principle they may have. De itmar ha'sechir sechamor u'meisol ha'b'chatzi aderech. you'll see now a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Someone rented an animal and it died at half the journey. Omar Rav, im yesh bedomeh likach, ikach. If there is enough money for a purchase of a replacement animal, then that should be done. However, liskor al yiskor. But if there is enough money just for renting a replacement animal to complete the journey, then Rav tells you, no, that we don't do. As we said, because that would result in the expenditure of the principal value. Ushmuel Omar af liskor yiskor. And Shmuel says, if that is all that's left, namely enough to rent a replacement animal, then the owner is expected to do that. B'mai komifligi, what's the basic point of difference? Rav sovar lo mechalinon karno. Rav is of the opinion that we do not finish off the principal. Ushmuel Omar mechalinon karno, that we do finish off the karno, the principal. Meisvei, notice we have a long question marking. And also another structural aspect that we want to highlight is the volcano shape, the trapezoid that appears in alternating directions. On the side of the Gemara, we have under the Mivneh, the structural note, this is featured as a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take style Gemara. The narrow part facing upwards represents kushios al Rav, challenges to Rav's position, and the inverted trapezoid or volcano are responses. Meisve, bear in mind that Rav is of the opinion that lo mechalinon karna. Now we have a Tanaic source. This source features a tree that was offered as collateral. Yovash ho'ilon onitzas, either the tree that was held by a lender. He received the tree as collateral, and the tree dried out or was cut down. Shneim asurin bo. The malve, the lender, and the original owner, the borrower, are forbidden. What does that mean, forbidden? They cannot take the wood and use it as fuel. Ketzad yaseh, so what should be done? Ilaka ilokach boi karka. A piece of land shall be purchased, v'hu eichel peros, and the lender will in the meantime benefit from the fruits. But v'ha'ha'ha kevon dechimoti yovel kohodra aro lemora v'kol kal yerkana. According to the suggestion of this source, a piece of land shall be purchased with the value of the borrower's dried out tree. So the borrower is in effect going to be then buying a little piece of land, and that will serve as the new collateral. However, what happens when the Jubilee year arrives? That's the Yovel year, and in the Torah we know that all purchased lands, every 50 years of the Yovel cycle, the land is returned to the original owner. So in the meantime, we have a borrower that bought a piece of land, but it's not going to remain by him. So that, in effect, we're taking the tree and finishing off the principal value of it. With upon the arrival of the Yovel year, the borrower is going to have to return this piece of land to the original owner. The original owner, the one who had inherited it from his predecessors. So we have a Tanaic source contrary to Rav, namely Mechalinon Karka Karno. Hocha b'may askino, the Gemara responds, Dezoven le l'shisin shonin. The land purchase was for 60 years. The Omar of Chizda Omar of Katino minayin l'moicha sodeu l'shishim shona. From where do we know that a land sale that was sold for a specified amount of time of 60 years, that when the Yovel year arrives, the purchaser remains holding the land? Shenemar, the Pasuk says, V'oretz lo simocher l'tzmisus. The Pasuk itself, which is in the context of the Yovel, of the laws of Yovel, says that the land shall not be sold l'tzmisus, for eternity. Mi she'ein shem Yovel nitzmeses, yesh shem Yovel eino mitzmeses. The Pasuk is saying that the land sale that had there been no Yovel would have been a permanent sale, which in very simple terms means a straightforward land sale. What happens? Well, if there's no Yovel law that would apply, it would be a permanent sale. A sale like that, that without the Yovel would have been a permanent sale, Yesham Yovel, ain't on its messes. When the Yovel laws apply, so then that sale won't be permanent. It will go back to the original owner when Yovel arrives. Yosazu, to the exclusion of a sale for 60 years, we are saying it is not affected by Yovel. Why? Sha'af al pishein shom Yovel. A sale for 60 years is that kind of sale that would not have been permanent from the outset. It's a kind of sale that had there been no Yovel, eino nitzmesis, it wouldn't have remained permanent to begin with. Therefore, a sale of land for 60 years does not go back to the original owner when the Jubilee year arrives. The Gemara asks, sof, but at the end of the day, lefi matu shisin shonin kohadra ara lemora v'kokal yerkana, when the 60-year mark arrives, the land will revert to the original owner. So how can you suggest, regarding the source above as an answer in, on behalf of Rav, that it's not Kal Yakarna when a sale for 60 years is Kal Yakarna when year 60, since the sale arrives, the sale goes back to the original owner. So our borrower friend will be losing land and hence left with nothing. Elo hocha b'may askinon b'zman shein ha'yovel noheg. The source above that spoke about the dried tree and the subsequent purchase of land to serve as a replacement collateral is talking about a case when the laws of Yovel no longer apply. And we can tell you that in the time of the at the end of the first Beis Hamikdash period of time, the laws of Yovel no longer were binding. And that's because the majority of the Jewish people had already been exiled. Hachi nami mistabra. And also, it's most likely that we're talking about that case, namely, bizman she'en ha'yovel noyeg. If you were to think that the source above dealing with Yovel She'ilon U'Nitzas is when the Yovel is binding and the purchase of land would result in it reverting back to the original owner upon the arrival of Yovel, and that means Mechalinon Karna, then once you allow Mechalinon Karna, Nitz L'chei L'tzivi V'nishkalei, why not just take the wood itself from the dried out tree? Why doesn't the malva, the lender, simply take the wood, split it, and use it as fuel? So from the fact that that is not suggested, it must be that, like Rav said, lo mechalin on karna, and the source that spoke about purchase a piece of land is when the Yovel is no longer binding. So that is how the Gemara says, Hachi Nami Mesabra, based on the fact that was not a suggestion, namely splitting the wood and using it as fuel. Well, regarding that last point, the Gemara rejects the Hochi Nami Mistabra, the supposed support. E Mishum Ha, if as a result of this, namely that there was no suggestion of Malva of lender using the wood of the dried out tree that he had as collateral as fuel, Lo Kashya. That doesn't present a basis for supporting the idea of Lo Mechalin and Karna. Really, we would tell you that the source could very well be talking about a time that Yovel is Nohek, and that in principle, Mechalin and Karna. Why does it not then use the suggestion or offer the suggestion that the Malva simply takes the dried tree and uses it as fuel? Zimnin deshalmu shnei mashkanta mekami yovel. Sometimes the years that were designated for the tree to serve as collateral will be completed before the arrival of the yovel year. The yovel year is once every 50 years. It could very well be that in this mashkon scenario, the lender had a right to hold on to the tree for a certain number of years, the completion of which fell out years before the Yovel year itself arrived. And in a case like that, the borrower would be able to get back that piece of land that was purchased and continue to benefit from it until the Yovel year arrives, when he would have to part with it. But that certainly is a more beneficial solution on behalf of the borrower than offering the dried wood to the lender to simply use as fuel. Inami, another reason why you can't prove from the absence of the fuel suggestion for the malve that we are not mechalin on karna, inami demotu le zuzi uporek lo arba v'chameshonin mekami yovel. In a loan collateral scenario, you've got a borrower of money that may very well come into funds to pay off the loan. And if, as we said before, we would buy the land with the value of the dried out wood, even though it's during the Yovel period, and ultimately the borrower is going to have to return that land, but in the interim, he may come into money, this borrower may come into money, pay off the loan, and the collateral will revert back to the borrower, and he'll be able to benefit from that land 4 or 5 years before the Yovel actually arrives. So that you cannot say Hochi Nami Mistabra, that which we dashed underline just a few lines up, and say that we can support from the source above the idea of Lo Mechalinon Karna, when in reality the source could be speaking about the time that Yovel is Noheg is applies, and land will revert back to original owner. But nevertheless, the suggestion of buying a replacement land for the dried out tree to serve as collateral is a better suggestion than having the lender simply use the dried out tree as fuel. You'll notice a bow tie shape, and there's a numbering scheme along with it. On the side under the Mivne, the structural note, we indicate Ad Sof Omid Beis, until the end of the next Omid of Gemara. We have a Sidra Shel Mekoros Shemaschilin Be'asuchas Asfina, or Hamor. Someone hired or rented a boat or a donkey. Cases 1 and 2, where the bow ties appear, will introduce sources where you see one who rents a boat. Sources 3 and 4 deal with one who rents a donkey. Now the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonan. Hasecher es haspina. Someone rented a boat. Vitova lo b'chatzi haderech. And it sank halfway into the journey. Rabbi Nosan Oimer, im nosan lo yitoil. V'im lo nosan lo yitain. If the renter paid the rental fee, then he doesn't get it back. If he didn't give any money yet, then he is not expected to pay. Heichi domi, what are the circumstances? Ilema b'sfina zu v'yayin stam. If the renter specified, or a boat was specified, that you are renting this boat, and the purpose was to transport wine in general, not specific barrels of wine, but I'm renting this boat in order to transport wine. Well, if that was the case, im nosan amai lo yitol, if he paid, why can he not receive his fee in return? Rashi, im nosan lo yitol. Bitmiha, you read that with a sense, with a tone of wonderment. Valo tainis hatovea bori, v'chazoka mitainis hanitba. The claim of the one who is trying to collect is greater than the one from whom the money is being claimed. The Omar lay, in this case the renter, can say, Hav li hahi svinta gufa, give me that boat, which of course is impossible to do, it sank. But he can say, give me that boat, the boat that you rented to me. Do amrisli svina zu, you said that you were renting to me this boat. Vano maisino kan chamra v'olich l'mokoyim shis nesa. And as far as I'm concerned, I will transport wine to its destination as was agreed upon. To ano yayin stam amri, I said I need the boat for wine transportation. The kevon debal hayayin yochol lahashlim tano, and this is really the key point. Since the customer, the renter, can fulfill his end of the deal, namely, find other wine and transport it to its destination. Chayev hasapon lahamid lo sfina. The boat owner must provide for him a boat. So that being the case, if these were the circumstances where the deal was, I'm renting you this boat for the transport of wine, then why does the Tanaic source say that if the money was paid, that he's out of it, he's out of luck? In other words, he can't get some kind of return, either a new boat or the money returned. Now, we can read this in the words of the Gemara. Name ole, let the renter say, Havli svinta, da'ano ma'isino gal chamra. You give me a boat, I will do my end of the deal. In other words, my goal was to transport wine. I'll get other wine. Ela, so what must be the circumstances of the source? Bisfino stam v'ayin zeh. That the boat owner rented a boat. He didn't specify which boat. I will rent you a boat. And the customer said, I need to rent a boat for transporting this wine, this specific wine. And he specified which barrels. Well, im lo nosan, amai lo yitain. The source said that if he didn't pay for the rental, then he doesn't have to pay. Why not? If he didn't pay yet, why should he not have to pay? We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Nemo lei, let the owner of the boat say, Hav li hahu chamra. give me that wine. Vano maisino svinta. I'm prepared to provide another boat. Omar Rav Papa, loy mishkachas lo, the teaching of Reb Nosson will not appear other than elo besfino zu v'yayin zeh, where the agreement had been specific on both ends, that a specific boat was rented for transporting specific wine. Rashi explains on the third line from the top, Ela b'yayin zev svinazu, and in the case where it sank, lo velo biyad zeh v'zeh lahashlim, neither the owner of the boat nor the owner of the wine can complete the deal, complete their respective agreements. Hilkoch yad tevea ala tachtoina. Therefore, the one who's claiming the money has the weaker position. The Omar Leheich, the other one, can say, Ano lo ma'akavno mechi maises didoch. I'm not withholding the deal. You bring your thing. So, where the money was paid, the renter will not be able to get back his money, because the boat owner will say, well, just bring that wine that you asked me to transport and I'll see to it that it gets transported. He can't do it. If the money wasn't paid yet, so the owner of the boat has the weaker position. He's the Toveya in that case, where the wine owner will say, you bring me that boat that we agreed upon and I'm willing to continue the journey with whatever, but in the meantime you bring me that boat, and he won't be able to do that. The Gemara goes on, a fourth scenario, Avol Besfino Stam V'Yayin Stam, if the agreement had been in general terms, both from the boat owner's standpoint and the wine owner's standpoint, then Cholkin, then the amount, the rental amount will be split. Rashi says, Cholkim, im kibel yachsir hachatzi. If all of the money was paid, so the owner of the boat will return half. Vimlo nosan, if no money was paid, yitein hachatzi. Then half shall be paid. Sherei biyad shnehem lahashlim. Both of them are in the position to complete their respective ends of the deal. V'myakev hanitpa milite nachatzi, if the one being claimed from doesn't pay the half, yaseh tano, then the other one will simply complete his end of the deal. So that if the, imagine the one who rented the boat that sank halfway with the wine didn't pay anything, the boatman in that case will say, well, I'll provide another boat. There was no specification of which boat was being agreed upon. It was a general point. I'll bring another boat, and there that will thereby obligate the renter to have to pay money. We continue in the Gemara. Tonu Rabbanan, Hasecher es hasfino uforko lo b'chatzi haderech. A man rented a boat, and porko means unloaded it halfway in the journey. What is the thinking of the Gemara right now? So Rashi, across from here, says, Hasecher es hasfino uforko lo b'chatzi haderech. Kasalka daite, the thinking right now, this is going to be changed later, but the thinking right now, Sohra ad mokum ploni, bekach bekach, man hired a boat for a journey to a specific location at a specified rate. Ukshigia lechatzi haderech, and when he got to halfway mark, got to some destination that's not his agreed upon destination, but a let's say a port a port halfway into the journey. He got there. Parka vahotzi chaviloisov mimena. He unloaded the boat and the packages from it. That's the thinking right now. So one who hired a boat and halfway into the journey decided to unload the boat. So he pays for the value of half the journey, and the owner of the boat has no further financial claim. All that he can bear is an ill feeling toward the customer. Heichi domi. Once again, we go through several stages to figure out what are the circumstances here. Ilema dekomashkach laagura. If at that point, halfway into the journey, the owner of the boat can find other renters, other people interested in renting, amai islay tarumis, why should he bear any grudge or ill feelings toward the original customer? Ve'idelo komashkach laagura. And if he won't find anyone at that point, the customer unloaded on some kind of desolate island in the middle of the sea. There are no other customers to rent the boat. So then, kule agro boy shlumi, then the customer should have to pay a full amount. Li'olam dekomashkach lagura. The case of the source above is that the owner of the boat will find subsequent or additional renters. Elamayis le tarumas. So then, why is he entitled to have a feeling, an ill feeling toward the original customer? So what? He unloaded it halfway. He'll find the owner of the boat will find easily find customers to rent it for the balance of the journey. Why the ill feeling? More answers. Mishum rafsita desfinta. Rashi across from here says rafsita desfinta riua, the weakening hasfina of the boat. Shemisro aras behotzas chavilos vachnosas chavilos. In the case that we presented, original customer unloads it halfway, and then we said Shchiach lagura, mishkach lagura, find new customers at that point loading up the boat with their merchandise, with their goods. That extra unloading and loading is just an additional activity that weakens the boat. Had the original customer stayed with the boat the entire journey, so you would have just had one act of loading and then unloading, but this way you're doubling it by re-renting it to someone halfway. That weakens the boat. That causes depreciation. Well, the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the case, then it's not just grounds for taromes, for ill feelings. Tanosim al yisahu mamonis legabe. It's a full-fledged monetary claim. And the owner of the boat has a claim of money, mamona, from the renter who caused this situation. Ella, my parka. We have to give a new explanation of what the source meant when it said parka lo b'chatzia des. What does parka mean? The parka l'tu'ane begave. Again, Rashi. The parka l'tu'ane begave b'chatzia derech. Halfway into the journey, Hoisif Loseis Bo Chavilos Shahoyu Lo Lisham. The renter added more cargo to the boat, more packages, more cargo to the boat that he had over there at the halfway mark. Vuhu Yisna Metchilo Lekachin, that was part of the original agreement. Litain b'soicha kashir yirtze v'aschar l'fi cheshvan ha'masuos v'aderech. The customer would be able to load up the boat whenever he wants, and the eventual fee will be according to the amount of packages and the length of the journey. Hilkoch noisein lo schar teiseves ha'masu shel chatzi aderech. Therefore, the customer will pay for the additional load at that halfway mark. The Gemara now asks, if that's the case of Parka L'Tayane B'Gavei, and as per Rashi explained, where everything was spelled out and it was part of the original agreement, and money will be paid for the additional cargo, then Elamai Taromis, what's the basis of the ill feelings? Number one, Mishum Shinui Daita, Inami La'ashlo Yesera. Now, Rashi. Mishum Shinui Daita. The owner can claim, Ho'isi Sofer Loleches Mahir V'Lachsumer. I thought that we would get this over with quickly. In other words, the journey from the original port till the destination would be a smooth journey without interruption. And that's what I thought was going to be. It's true that we made a deal that if you should want to load it up in the middle of the journey with additional cargo, you have the right to do so, and I will get compensated for that. But I didn't anticipate that happening. So because I thought the journey was going to be fast, and it turned out to be otherwise, therefore, the source says he's allowed to bear ill feelings. It seems to me that my own understanding is that this boat owner must have been given the impression that the journey would go quickly. And when it turned out otherwise, so he has the right to bear this ill feeling. Because if everything was not only spelled out, but it was made clear that that's what would happen, then once again, the question would be, why should he have a right to bear ill feelings? The second pshat in the Gemara was, where are the ill feelings going to come from? Because of Ashlo Yesera. Rashi explains, La'ashlo Yesera tzorach ani litnos chavolem b'yoyker kan. The owner of the boat at that halfway journey, when he realizes that the boat is going to be loaded up with heavier, with additional cargo waiting down the boat, boats that ran or that traveled along a river route. The river is shallow along the banks and deepens in the middle of the channel. The boat is light, and just one more point, the boats described here and in many other Gemaras were what we would maybe refer to as barges, and they were drawn along the banks of the river, close to the banks of the river, by animals that hauled the boat, while the animals were attached to ropes that were at a diagonal attached to the boat. The heavier the boat, the further into the middle of the river channel it will have to travel, otherwise it will run aground. That requires additional rope length. So if the journey started out with a relatively light boat, the boat owner had ropes that were, relatively speaking, short. When the owner discovered that new cargo or additional cargo was going to be loaded onto the boat halfway into the journey, he now has to buy longer ropes or add to the existing rope length. And halfway into the journey, that location is such that the ropes are more expensive than the point of origin. So Rashi says that the ill feelings that the boat owner is entitled to bear is because now I'm going to have to buy ropes costing more over here. Rashi explains what we explained already. Shek shasfina machbedes, when the boat becomes heavy, tzorach lahafliga el emtsois hanor, he has to distance it into the middle of the river channel, lemokim ma'imamukim, where the water is deep. Shelote geisheshes, so that the boat doesn't run aground. Vitzorach avolam arukim, and now he needs long ropes. And you didn't tell me, and here's where the boat owner has a claim against the customer, you didn't tell me at the outset that you were going to load it up with additional cargo. I would have been able to If I had known that, I would have bought the robes here at the point of Arjun at a less expensive rate. So that is the basis of his ill feelings. We turn back to the Gemara, Tonu Rabbanan. Hasichas Achamor, Lukev Olel, a person rents a donkey for riding purposes. Socher Miniach Olel, Ksuso, Ludinusai, Umazoinishol, Oysa Haderech. The renter is entitled to load up the donkey with his clothing, with the owner's clothing, the person's clothing. His lagunuso, a login is a vessel containing a beverage, drink, and mizonos and food for the entire journey. Enough food, drink, and clothing for the entire journey. Mikandi, more than that, though, chamor ma'ake v'lov. Chamor is the owner of the donkey. The donkey driver, the owner is also the driver in most cases. He can say, listen, I'm not going to allow you to load up on my donkey more than that. Now, Chamor, the owner of the donkey, Meniach Olav Soirim V'Tevin, barley and straw, Umazay Noisav, and his food requirements, Shal Oisayom, for that day. Mikavelech Soichir Makeliv Olav, but more than one day's worth of animal feed and donkey driver food, more than that, he's not allowed. The renter can say, no, you can't have more than that. Heichi Domi, what are the circumstances here? You can see there's a discrepancy between the standard we apply to the renter versus the standard we apply to the owner of the animal. Why? So what are the circumstances? E d'shchiach l'mizvan, if the above products are readily available for purchase along the way, chamor nami la'akev, let the owner of the animal prohibit the renter from loading up any more than one day's worth of food. V'i d'lo shiach mizvan, and if it's along the way, it's just not easily come by to purchase the needs, socher nami lo la'akev, then the renter should not be able to restrict the owner to merely one day's worth of provisions. It's not going to come by any replacement food and drink, then why is he limited to just one day's worth of stuff? Omar Rav Papa, lo tzricha, the source needs to be taught, deshchiach lemitrach lemizvan, me'avno le'avno. Replacement products, produce, provisions are readily available from Avno le'Avno. And Avno, Rashi says, Mimoloin delaylo, Lemolon delaylo. Stop off points, where people would stop their journey for calling it a night. That's Molon delaylo, where they would spend the night. Whereby people would have along these routes, there were, we'll call it what we would refer to today as motels along the way. So motels, if that's like from the word motor hotel, then we'll have to call them then dotels, from donkey hotels along the way. So provisions are available, me'avno le'avno. Why the discrepancy? Chamor, the donkey driver, darke le'mitrach le'mizvan. He's a regular in troubling himself to find out where the provisions are available. Rashi says, "Lemitrach lachzor v'lishol be'ir mi moicher mazonos." When they get to each station along the way, so there's a community that's nearby, and it's common for the donkey driver to seek out providers of the provisions and to buy them. Socher lav darki lemitrach ulemizvan. The renter, He isn't a regular traveler. He needed it for one particular journey. So for him, it would be an extraordinary burden and source of trouble to find the suppliers. Therefore, we don't burden him with that, and he's entitled to load up the donkey with the provisions necessary for the entire journey. Tonu Rabbonin, Hasicher es hachamor, Lukei voleo ish, lo sirkav oleo isha. Man hires a donkey, rents a donkey for a male, a man, to ride it. He cannot have a woman ride upon it. Isha, if it's hired for a lady riding upon it, rochev oleo ish. It's permissible then to have, instead of the woman, to have a man riding upon it. Rashi doesn't elaborate on this point. The isha bein gedoyla ubein kitana, if the agreement was that a woman would be riding, in other words, he rented the donkey for the purpose of a woman riding upon it, then it doesn't matter whether we're dealing with a large woman or a small woman. Afilu muberes, even if she's pregnant, vafilu menika, even if she is nursing. The upcoming Gemara and the explanation of this section is presented by Rashi. However, the commentaries, additional commentaries like the Tosfos and the Ritva, raise questions on how Rashi presents it. We're going to stick, for our purposes, with the Rashi commentary, and we recognize that you might say they're obvious questions. By all means, look into the Tosfos, Dibur Maslo Hashta, as well as the Ritva for further elucidation. The Gemara asks, Hashta Meniko Amris. In this source, you're telling me that you can, if you agree to have a woman as the one riding on the animal, then it can be a woman that is nursing. So once you tell me Meniko is a woman nursing a child, that you have the woman and her child, they're two people. Uberes Mibaya, do I need to tell you that you'd be allowed to have a pregnant woman? It's only one person, she's pregnant. So why does the source tell me about Mu'uberes? Omar Rav Papa, Mu'uberes Vehi Menika Ka'omar. In fact, the source is describing a pregnant woman that is still nursing. In other words, she has a baby plus her own large size as a result of pregnancy. And that's what the source is allowing. Omar Abaye, Shma Mino. Now, Shma Mino means we can draw a conclusion from here. Rashi's pshat on the last narrow line, Shma Mino, Midikotoni, Afilu Miuberes. From the fact that the source says even a pregnant woman, the mashma shehamuberes kvedo min harikonis, that indicates that a pregnant woman is heavier than a non-pregnant woman. I would like to assume a non-pregnant woman of the same dimensions. The source said that once you agree that a woman can ride, is the one that's going to ride it, we said whether it's a large woman or a small woman. So a large woman was referenced, and it goes on in the source that even if she's pregnant. So that gives us the impression that the pregnant woman is of greater weight than a woman of the same dimensions that's not pregnant. So now, with that in mind, we conclude Benisa Akresotakla. Rashi says, "Hai benisa dag hanimka b'shuk b'mishkal, a fish that's sold by weight in the marketplace." Akreso taklo. Rashi continues, "Lefi kreso koivda, as large as its kreso, the kreso is the belly of the fish, that is how much weightier it will be. Im kreisa gadol mishkalo yoser, if its belly is larger, so it's going to weigh more. Once again, we're translating the Gemara as Rashi presents it. There is, of course, things that need to be clarified here, but for our purposes, this is what the Gemara is saying according to Rashi, so that from the description of the source of saying even a muberes, we conclude that the larger the belly, the weightier it's going to be. So, l'may nafkamina, what practical purpose is there in my knowing this? Answer, l'mekach umemka, for commercial purposes. Rashi, on this point, says, l'mekach umemka, im roisa dag shekresa godol, if you notice a fish with a large belly for sale, lo sikneo b'mishkal elayim kein yitzi es meov, don't buy it by weight. Apparently from Rashi, you get the impression that there were options of buying the fish as is, without being weighed. Some other assessment method was used, but there was also the option of buying it by weight. So if you're going to buy it by weight, so don't have it weighed until the innards are taken out. And innards, we'll just assume, is that part of the fish that no one eats. You throw them out. So you don't want to have them part of the weighing and end up having to pay for something that you're going to throw out. So this information is important for general commercial purposes when dealing with the purchase of fish. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.